In business, we're told to separate faith from the marketplace. Keep it professional, keep it neutral, keep God out of it. But what if that's backwards? What if the most powerful edge you have as a leader isn't another system or script, but a faith that guides every decision, every relationship, and every day? Today, we're going to explore how bold, unapologetic faith in business doesn't just transform your culture, it transforms your results. My guest today is Christine Lee, founder of Seize the Market. Christine is not only a builder of high-performance real estate systems, she's also a Jesus follower who is passionate about integrating God into business. She applies Bible-based principles in ways that are out of the box and not typical, creating fresh opportunities to grow both purpose and performance. She created the God in Business Mastermind and teaches a powerful three-step day planning with God framework that grounds her work in prayer, purpose, and practical daily action. I first connected with Christine through her newsletter program, and then I started sharing it with my team, and then eventually joined her mastermind myself. She's here today to help us rethink what it means to do business with both excellence and faith. So, Christine, it's so great to have you on the show today, and like all the interactions that we've had in the past, let's begin with a short prayer, okay?
My favorite part. Thank you. All right. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you and invite you into the conversation because it is always great when you're in the middle of it. Lord, just lead the way and help us follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, that's a great start. So I know you pretty well because of the interactions and the work that we've done together, but I'd like for you to share a little bit with our audience, you know, sort of tell us your story. How did you find yourself working with God in business and making that such a big part of your business today?
Oh, I'm like, oh, that's like a loaded question because, you know, it's like for 20 years, I was somebody who was totally not interested in God at all. So him being a part of business was unheard of, just not even a passing thought in my mind. I certainly, you know, grew up in a church environment, but I didn't find that there was a whole lot of conversation or space for entrepreneurs, right? If anything, like the church kind of hails like, oh, being like, you know, poor and meek and, you know, like, well, what if you have a drive for growth and like building businesses or, you know, building wealth? And so anyways, 20 years with Zippo got in the business. Like people didn't even know I was a Christian. They were like, oh, you're a Christian? Like that's how much I was like a closet Christian. I mean, that would actually be an upgrade. But about, I would say 5-6 years ago, God finally let me just like do it my own way and like let me burn out. And that burnout kind of brought me to a point of re-looking at life and business and totally not even looking to God of how to reinvent myself to like get out of burnout. But just this one like moment in the morning when I was like really trying to reinvent and just, you know, kind of meditate without the God part, there was just kind of like a still small thought that came up and that said, well, what about God's plan? And my immediate knee-jerk reaction was, nope, that's boring. Sorry, God, your plan, everything I know about it is boring, not interested. So I kicked that to the curb about as fast as I could. And I don't know if it was like a few weeks or months, who knows, as I'm just continuing to search. And the next thought just kind of emerged in my head. And it's like, well, technically, God is like the creator of the universe, and he's pretty amazing. I mean, the universe is amazing, meaning like science, the stars, the moons. You look at like the Webb telescope, the birthing of stars. It's incredible. And I'm like, the God that created that can't be boring, technically. So maybe I'm missing something. And it was kind of like a begrudging admitting of the fact that God's plan could be interesting. And so that just started my journey into being curious about it and being open about it and just literally tossed out the comment, all right, God, like I begrudgingly admit, right, was my attitude, that your plan may be interesting, but I still think it's boring. I'm not interested. So you said to come to you with everything. So here's everything. I'm not interested. If you can get me interested, if you can show me a sliver of how it can be amazing, where I can be passionate about it, like I am about business as an entrepreneur, like if I can get a taste of that, then I'm game.
Okay. Well, you've shared a lot there, and there's so much to unpack. So if I hear you right, when you started, you worked for 20 years without not necessarily having faith, but it was not a major part of your business. Is that correct?
That would be an understatement. It was like a zero part of my business, like completely not interested. Yeah. I mean, like for anybody who's listening, that's like, I'm at, you know, maybe like 1%. Well, guess what? That's like 1% greater than I was. So you're ahead of the game.
I know we're taught to work hard, to set goals, to create plans, to grind, show a lot of grit in order to be successful. I mean, in the culture that we're in, we're very self-sufficient, you know, as entrepreneurs. We think, you know, if it's to be, it's up to me. That's an affirmation I learned probably 40 years ago. If it's to be, it's up to me. And that's really pushing God completely out of the picture. Right.
Absolutely. And that's the ironic part, right? Because I went to all the conferences, all the events, the personal development, all the notions about, you know, you making it happen and you're such a great creation, you know, everything from, you know, just removing limiting beliefs to, you know, I mean, you know, you get into more Eastern philosophy of like, you are source and power. I mean, like all of that, right? Which lifts up human greatness. And it feels great because it's so empowering. And then you're in a group with other people that are thinking the same thing and other people who are striving and succeeding. And you have other, you know, like mentors or people who are helping you. And so you feel like you can do it, which is the biggest scam ever. Because if you really start looking at underneath the hood and having honest conversations with people who are hustling and grinding, and I've been there. And you know what? It feels so fun. It feels like you're on your way. It feels like you're going to get there. But the thing is that everybody is like seriously on their way to burnout. They're like, I'm going to make it before I burn out. It's kind of like cancer treatment, right? Like it's like the goal is to kill the cancer without killing you and then you recover. And that's kind of what our business plan looks like. So many people are literally, you look at the fruit of what's happening in their life, whether it's their health, their mental health, they can't sleep at night or they can't even sit still. I mean, hello, God says, be still and know that I am God. And we're making all sorts of entrepreneurial excuses of why we can't do that. And we actually like brag about it. You're like, oh yeah, I can't stand still. Oh yeah, I can't read anything slow. I have to like listen to it at 2x. I remember having those conversations myself and it goes 100% against what God tells us to do. And so the tricky part is like Satan's like a slippery little sucker, right? He comes disguised as an angel of light. Okay, business version of that. He comes disguised as productivity, as success, as hustle, as grind, as you're capable, you can do anything, remove those limiting beliefs and you power through it. That's how he shows up for entrepreneurs in the business world. And we suck it up like it's, you know, like lemonade.
So I know that I have gone through tremendous business struggles and personal struggles. And there are moments, there are what, you know, I call moments of clarity or a paradigm shift where everything changed. You shared that God wasn't a part of your business and then you were open to it. What was happening at the time? What were you going through in your business? Or if you don't mind sharing the details, what that experience was, that moment of clarity that says, I'm not doing this anymore and allowing God to come in.
Yeah, that's so one thing I did want to share today is that to that question, it was gradual. Like some people have like a Saul to Paul, like conversion type thing, which is kind of like, oh, that's cool. But I think there's more people that's like, that's not me. I'm not feeling that conversion, that like, you know, blink of an eye, change of heart. Mine was super gradual. It was about as slow as can be, but it was slowly but surely for sure. Because once I said that prayer about like, God, like, give me a taste of how it can be interesting. I literally didn't care whether he did or not. Like, because I wasn't interested, but it was just, I was logically, it's funny. God met me in my logic. And God is, I mean, we think of faith as like puffy, poofy, like fluff, right? Nothing. But if we think about it, God is the God of logic, right? He's logical, practical, and spiritual because he created the laws of gravity, of physics, of science, like how our body works. He created all of that. So it actually doesn't logically make sense that we call him illogical. If anything, we're illogical. So anyways, he met me in my logic and I threw out the prayer. And that's why I believe in the power of prayer so much. Even this lame, punk, rebellious prayer that I tossed out that I didn't even consider a prayer. It was a comment. But in actuality, prayer is just a conversation with God, right? And mine was like a very like disrespectful little punk comment. But he took that. He met me where I'm at. And that was enough of an invite for him to be like, sister, I can totally work with that. right? Like, talk about him maximizing on the smallest seed of an opportunity I gave him into my heart. And he began to make me curious little by little. Like, it was so gradual, barely noticeable. And one of those things you only notice that you actually got more interested when you look back. And whether it's me running across or even, you know, Googling something or YouTubing something about whatnot, or having my health go to just flunk out, and I had to hire somebody who was a nutritionist, a practitioner, and she was a lover of Jesus, okay? And she did her business in a way where she integrated God into it that made me curious. And I didn't know it at the time, but God totally sent her and used her in my life in such a huge way where he got me curious. And she would share just her story. She's not like shoving it down your throat. She's like, hey, this is just me. And she shares. And then it got me curious. And she would mention this verbiage about this phrase about my business is my ministry.
Let me interrupt you there, because this is sort of fascinating. It was modeled for you by somebody that you were working with, is
because
I think
what
I'm hearing. Yeah, okay. And one of the things that I find, you know, so fascinating is that we're taught to do everything ourselves, to grind. Not only that, we're told to separate and to keep God out of our business. We're told that if we talk about God in our business, that we're going to drive people away, right? A lot of people are told that. They're told, you know, you can't talk about God. I remember one of my friends, one of his complaints was that he said every single person that had a fish on their business mm-hmm. card, he'd had a bad experience with. They had marketed themselves as a Christian business, and then their behavior didn't match the Christianity. And what you're sharing is that you had somebody in your life that was both Christian and was modeling that ministry in the ways she worked with you. That's fascinating.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's the thing that really turned me off about Christianity, too, is because the people who call themselves Christians didn't live the way that Jesus wants us to. And it's like, you know, when we become bad representations of him, we literally just ruin it for everybody else. We ruin it for everybody else. So I'm like, I don't know if this is appropriate to say, but I'm just going to say it for anybody who has had a bad experience with another Christian person who calls them a Christian out there that doesn't represent what Jesus represents. I am so sorry. I am so sorry that you got like a bitter, bad taste in your mouth. That's not how Jesus intended it. Just remember that humans mess up everything, including God and religion. So like separate like the true essence and love of God from like the stinky humans that we're all just pooping in our diapers and trying to figure it out. Hurt people hurt people. And so if you can see it through that lens that we're all just so messed up, like release that part of how another Christian hurt you, and just don't miss an opportunity to have a personal relationship with Jesus that can completely fill your life with love, joy, and happiness to an extent like we're all searching for. That's why we're trying to make all this like wealth and money, because we are searching for joy. We're searching for ultimate peace and happiness through wealth building. That's like our end game, right? And ultimately peace. And you don't have to like get there to have it. You can have it abundantly, overflowingly in the process. And that's the thing that I feel like we've been lied to about by like the world. And you know how Satan just disguised himself as success and prosperity.
So your practitioner modeled her ministry. And I want you to repeat that phrase, my business is my ministry.
Yeah, my business is my ministry. And she said that a few times. And it just like Holy Spirit was just tickling the snot out of my brain. Like, I'm just like, that's interesting. I'm like, that's kind of has a flavor of what I was looking for, which is like, I wanted to break down the walls between the different compartments of life, you know, because, you know, in my, you know, meditation minus God, I at least logically concluded that we have these different compartments, right? We have personal, we have business, we have, you know, contribution, and then we have, you know, spiritual. And like, they don't play together. Like when we're hard driving in business, our personal and our health fails, you know, and when we're really stepping into contribution, it's like our business is like floundering. I'm like, we need a model that like synergizes. So breaking down the walls between the different categories, and the word my business is my ministry was definitely like a breaking down of walls between at least two categories. And I was like, okay, that's fascinating. That's kind of the flavor I'm looking for. So I asked her about it. And she said it so sweetly. She's like, listen, I happen to be in nutrition, but my main sole goal is to lead people to Jesus, you know? And so it's like, I'm nutrition in disguise, kind of like Superman and Clark Kent, right? And so I was like, that's interesting. And I think the best thing was that she was this breath of fresh air on how she represented Jesus and how she did business in life with Jesus. That wasn't like cheesy or like greasy or car salesman like, or just like hypocritical. You know, you can tell she was 100% passionate about it, and she makes no qualms about her shortcomings. She's like, I'm a stinking work in progress, a hot mess, you know. And so that, I don't know, it's that authenticity and also the passion totally intrigued me.
Are there any milestones that stick out that you added a practice, or there was a big breakthrough or a major change? Because I know that you operate your business completely different from not having God in it at all.
And I don't know if this is a milestone, but it's what's coming to mind. So I'm just going to roll with it. So everything was so gradual. It's hard to pick up on a milestone. I mean, that's how gradual it was. But I do remember January 1st of 2020, like by that time. So like, let's say for like a year or 18 months, that curiosity was percolating, right? And it finally came to the point where I'm like, you know, I want to do this. You know, it's like, it's kind of like a couple being like, okay, I think let's get married, you know? And so I just decided, like, for the first time in my life, I was like, you know, I kind of, what is it, listened to some things about like fasting and prayer, and I just found the beauty in it. And it was more like, for me, a representation, a symbolic commitment between me and Jesus. Like, hey, I want to do this where I'm like laying down my physical wants and desires and like coming to you, almost like proposing, right? And so January 1st, 2020, I did my first fasting and prayer just to declare my business as a ministry. That's all I wanted to do. And then also, like, you know, like supposedly fasting and prayer gives you like, you know, it's a way to seek God and, you know, kind of discover his will and get closer to him. So I'm like, okay, and I want a game plan. You know, I'm looking for a game plan, a business plan, you know, a 1 year, 5 year, 10 year. And so, yeah, I like fasted all day. Like, it's my first fast ever. And like, considering that I'm a foodie, right? Like, I love eating. I love foods. I love flavors, restaurants, all that stuff. So to fast was like a huge sacrifice. Literally, I was about ready to gnaw my like own arms and legs off just to like eat something by the end of the day. I'm like, this is not working. This was a bad idea, was at the end of the day. But it almost like 11th hour style, I was just journaling and asking God, and he just kind of like, I don't know, he just kind of let loose some words, like literally a poem came out, and it was a declaration of my business as a ministry to him that kind of like sealed the deal for the day. And I didn't have any big old revelations. I didn't have any like 10-year game plan, but I had a vision and a flavor of what I wanted my business as a ministry to taste like and feel like.
So my first introduction to you was through your email newsletter program. How do you come up with that?
Okay, so that was funny. So as I declared my business as a ministry, I would say a few months later, you know, I'm you know, as a business, you're creating these emails, and it was all the same thing that you would get from any other tech company, right? Like just marketing, scaling, you know, and then using all the marketing tactics, which is at its core manipulation, right? Like authority, scarcity, you know, all that stuff. And like, I'm like, you know, it started sitting less and less okay with me. It's funny. That's how Holy Spirit works. Once you start like really inviting him in, the things that were okay before are no longer okay. They start like bothering you. Like Holy Spirit starts bothering you.
Yeah.
And so like the marketing that I was doing, the things that were being written started bothering me. And so I was like, okay, I want to have Holy Spirit marketing. Right. I'm like, Holy Spirit, I want to do marketing with you. So I would sit down and like have brainstorming sessions with him and try to come up with topics with him. And I started interjecting like a little bit of Jesus. Like it was like 99.99999%, like all same tactics. And then I'd inject like 0.1%. But then that 0.1% was like, ooh, that was kind of like thrilling. Like I just broke some kind of rule. And that turned to like 0.2%. 0.3, 5%, 10%, to the point later where I was like, 100%. I don't even care if they know whether I'm a tech company or not. I just had so much fun just like talking about Jesus. And so that's kind of probably where you came in, where it was like 100% Jesus. And like, I have maybe like a signature line at the bottom, you know, where people are still like, what do you do? And what is it? That's how that came to be. And again, so the story is that it was so gradual. Like, it doesn't have to be an overnight conversion. Like, if you're thinking about integrating God into your business, he is so, so gentle. Like, that's one of the fruits of his spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And as entrepreneurs, we're so aggressive. We're not gentle. And it's like, if you're afraid, like you have to be like super aggressive to integrate God into your business, nope. He will start out with that 0.00001% with you, meet you where you're at, and he'll actually give you the desire to increase it to 2%. And so you don't have to worry about forcing it. You just keep asking him to change your heart, and he will change your heart. Like, you won't, it'll be because you want to.
Okay. So, you know, it sounds to me that over time, that entrepreneurial control of your business and in my business and in a lot of people's business, you gradually let that go and gave a little bit more to God, and he took more and more and more of it, is what it sounds like to me. What is, and so what is it like today?
Okay, so I want to touch on that. The whole letting go part, let me tell you what, it was a straight up battle with fear. Okay. There's so much fear wrapped up into our entrepreneurial mindset and lifestyle that I didn't even know about. So like, when we try to control the outcome, when we try to like, I mean, you know, like, there's nothing bad about wanting to be diligent with your resources and your plans and your vision, but we've come so far to a point where we want control over it. And what happens when we feel like we lose control? We get into fear. We're afraid of losing control of our future, our destiny, because we've been programmed so much by the world that we have to make it happen, which is 100% opposite of what scripture says. And we don't even realize how 100% opposite of scripture that we've come. Like, we've got drifted that far. It's become normal. And then when you actually reference scripture and like try and do it God's way, you're told that it's foolish, right? Like, that doesn't make sense. Oh, you don't have time for that. Like, that doesn't apply in today's world. And so that's kind of where we're at with business and entrepreneurialism right now.
Yeah. You know, I share, and this goes back several years, is when I first started praying, and we're going to talk about your three-step day planning with God shortly. But when I first started praying, I would sit and I would pray for 20 minutes, and then I would put my Bible aside and my journaling aside, and I would get up and I would be the same Mark that I was the day before. I was with God for 20 minutes, and then I set him on the shelf with my Bible, and I went off, put on my Superman cape, and just went, it did exactly the same thing that I had done before. And it didn't work as well, but the door was open, sort of the way that you were talking about. You've shared gradually over time that relationship has blossomed and flowered, I guess would be a good way to do it, and grown to the point now where in random moments, I'm talking with God in my mind throughout the day. I wake up in the middle of the night and the first thought goes to God. So I know that that relationship grows over time. So share with people how you start with that three-step process.
Yeah, so whatever step it is, I do want to say this. There's a book called Fierce Conversation that says the conversation is the relationship, right? And I just want to share that the only reason I like built a relationship with God is because of having conversations with him. And I was never taught that that was a thing. But I want to say, guess what? It can be learned. We're designed to hear his voice. Like, literally, God says, my sheep know me. They hear my they hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Right? Like, we're meant to hear him. Now, the hearing, it's not like audible, but it comes in the form of a seed of a thought. Right. And so this three-step process, or these three steps I'm suggesting, I just broke it down into steps so it's logical, because I do believe God is still logical, practical, and spiritual. So I made it so that it can be replicated and followed along. But all it is like, it's just giving you a little framework to start a conversation, do a question, and then listening with God. Like, just pay attention to the thought that comes up and the fact that you're seeking him, that he will come up in your thoughts, because one of his promises is that if you seek me, you will find me. And the only reason I feel like, well, maybe not the only, but one of the major reasons I feel like we're lacking in this relationship is because we're not taught that we're supposed to hear him. And that lack of knowledge is literally killing our potential relationship with God, which, you know, in Hosea it says, like, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And in this case, our relationship is literally like dying on the vine because we don't know that we're supposed to actually chat it up with Jesus. So, okay, back to the three steps. Sorry, I'm like,
that's okay.
So in this three step, okay, it's, and this is whether you're starting your day with Jesus or whether you are having any other type of chat, is if you got a schedule that's like a mile long and you're like, I don't even know what to do. Okay, just pull it out in front of you. Get into a quiet space where you can not be distracted and just have a little chat with Jesus. Look at your schedule. And I recommend this at the beginning of the day, right? And if you got like, you know, 20 different things, just ask, like literally just be like, Holy Spirit, what are the top three things you want me to focus on today? Top three. And okay, at first it's, I'm just gonna let you know, it feels weird. It feels weird, yeah, because you got 20 yeah things. You're like, what? Just three? Are you kidding me? Like, my business is not gonna go around with just three. Well, I'm just talking about the top most important three that he wants you to touch on. And most likely it's gonna be do it, at least what I've brought into practice is that I'm gonna set a time block for it. Whether it's like 30 minutes of touching on that big project, like a big rock type of project. And so I'm just going to time block like 25 minutes, okay, for each of those things. And so that actually ends up taking up like 90 minutes of your day. And then I'll have other things where I'm like, all right, what type of follow-up activities? I'm going to pick three, okay? So there's like kind of three and three. And then I actually ask about what are the top three like kind of things that for like self-care, you know, like for health, whether it's mental health, physical or spiritual health. And I get three things. I just write it down on a sticky. If you're just starting out, keep it simple. Just start with, what are the top three big rocks you want me to focus on? And the beautiful part about that is that focus on those three and let go of the rest. Like literally by faith, let go of the rest. Because if you're not doing the top three that he asked you to do, what does it matter if you do 4 through 10? Like, what does it matter? If God's not in it, what does it matter? And you got to just trust it. And at first it will feel weird. Probably for me, like the first, I don't know how many dozens of times I didn't listen or follow it. But then after I kept on, you know, running into the wall, I was like, okay, I'll really try and follow the top three today. I eventually came to that. And when I did it, the first time it worked out, I was like, oh my goodness, it kind of worked out. Like, did that just happen? That was kind of cool. Let me try it again. Right. And then once you keep having this track record of like, oh my goodness, it kind of worked out again. Like, can this work out 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row? And it just keeps on working out. And like, you know, when you have shifts or like just things that pop up in your schedule, it doesn't mean that you have to ignore it. All that means is it's an invitation for you to be like, all right, Holy Spirit, this came out of nowhere. How do you want me to adjust for this? So you're partnering with him with regarding your schedule, like fluidly all day long. And that's just one way of kind of like integrating God into your schedule.
Yeah. I think one of the challenges that I've had personally, and I see it with other people that are very successful, is they pack their days so full that if God's knocking on the door, they're too busy to listen. And I think what you're sharing is that it's very important to listen to the messages that are coming your way and have a process for that.
Yeah. And then I'll just touch base on that point, margin. That sister that was sent to me, she taught me about margin. Yeah. As an entrepreneur, I like prided myself on having a packed calendar because that felt like productivity to me, you know, it's like getting closer to my goal faster, more efficiently. So back-to-back appointments. And I remember even at like, you know, just conferences, it'd be like, we'd brag about like how packed our schedule is, you know, how back-to-back it is. And, you know, it's not in your calendar, it doesn't exist, which I'm still a huge fan of that. But we would pack it. But now I started putting more margin into it. And if I have a blank spot, literally now it's like, oh God, look, I got a blank spot. Like, do you want me to fill it? And a lot of times he's like, nope.
Yeah.
He's like, do you trust me? And so instead of all the way up to the hour, maybe instead of 60 minutes, it's like 45 minutes. That gives you a little bit of breathing room. Because here's the thing. If you really believe that we're supposed to have a lifestyle of moving and flowing with Holy Spirit, the way that God's guiding you, if you pack yourself out, the busyness of the day drowns out his voice, his touch, his nudges, because you're so amped up. Like your volume in your own head with all your stuff is so high. Like when God's whispering to you, like you don't hear it. He's nudging you and tickling you all day long, but you don't sense it. You don't hear it because you block him out unintentionally. And that's the danger. That's the price you pay for a packed schedule, because there's no headspace, brain space left for him.
Yeah.
So share a little bit with everyone about the work that you're doing with others today. How are you helping other people bring Jesus into their business and into their work life?
Yeah, so just created a simple space. And like you mentioned, it's the God in Business Mastermind. I know I got super creative with that name. I'm like, God, do you have a different name? I was like literally asking for a cooler name, but I got nothing. So I was like, okay, we're rolling with this. But yeah, it's God in Business Mastermind, where literally you're just having conversations. We're unpacking our real life challenges and looking at it through the perspective of, one, a spiritual battle, right? Because the battle is real in our business, like the battle for our headspace, our time, our desires, our ambitions, right? Even our fears is such a battle. And then having that conversation, whether it's literally having to do with client conflict or, you know, recruiting or sales or conversions or scripting and dialogue, you'd be amazed at how much of God principles you can apply into that and how much we've strayed. that's always a very interesting ongoing conversation. But so yeah, we just get to do life and God and business in that conversation. And we literally just kind of like seek God and Holy Spirit on what to talk about next. He has been, you know, giving me like some themes to run with, but we're always unpacking scenarios and making it real. It's not theoretical. It's real. God is logical. He's practical and he's spiritual. And I think bringing those connections into the conversation is super, super fun. So come taste and see, guys. The water's just fine.
Yeah. I think it's wonderful in the fact that, you know, my sales team are all Christian. Mm-hmm. And so I started sharing your email updates and things with them. And so it's very, very easy for my team and I to talk about our faith and our values in our planning. What suggestions would you have for people that are running a team or running a company where they have people that are close to them? Are there any practical ideas that you could share that they might put into their business?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the interesting thing was as I, you know, like declared my business as a ministry, and I'm like, I don't even know what that means, because I'm like, you know, a tech company and the tech is like the least spiritual space, you know. But after some time, God just put on my heart, like, okay, the people that I have are my disciples that he's given me, right? The people that I get to shepherd. And so I realized I really didn't know anything about kind of like their background or even their desires when it comes to faith. So I just started asking them, like, did one once, just to kind of get their life story a little bit. And so not only their life story, but then it would also segue into, well, also tell me about, like, what's your spiritual journey been? You know, like, what did you grow up with? What's your experience and where are you at now with it, you know? And there's so many people that actually have some type of, you know, Jesus faith-based upbringing, and but they're just, you know, not interested. And it's just like, don't see the practicality. It just kind of, you know, drifted, faded away, like most of us, right? Like that's literally the statistic for the country, is like Christianity is dropping. But there's still so many that have that background. It just hasn't become real for them. And so just starting that conversation with a teammate one-on-one, like you have one-on-one accountability, goal setting, you know, production meetings. Well, invest that time. Maybe, you know, you're like, one meeting I'm going to dedicate to not business, but towards finding out about them, their life and their spiritual journey, and just asking about it, just literally caring and like almost like interview style. You're just like digging, like, I really want to know and understand what you went through. Because once you have understanding, then Holy Spirit will tickle your brain on how you can draw them closer. Like, what is their gap? What is their pain point? What is their desire? Maybe they're not ready. So you just need to continue to pray for them. Like, when you take that step towards seeking to draw people closer to Jesus, like, Holy Spirit will do like the next steps with you. So but that's the one step you do have control over. If you want to be even more like prayerful about it, you can just like, you know, do a week of prayer before you kick it off. Like, Holy Spirit, when do you want me to do this? I'm just going to prepare. I mean, I want to pray for you to prepare their heart for the conversation. And that's a super powerful prayer, is the preparation of heart. Because if you don't allow Holy Spirit to prepare hearts, then the conversation can be very non-fruitful. I mean, it's kind of like Esther, right? She's like, all right, 3 days of fasting and prayer, and then if I perish, I perish, right? So it's not that dramatic, but the notion is the preparation of the heart that God will do.
So if someone is feeling nudged to bring their faith out of the closet, probably one way to say it, you know, somebody that has kept their faith in the closet to bring it out of the closet into their business, and they feel nudged to do that, what would you suggest that they do?
So I say just keep priming the pump with prayer. So here's what I mean by that. I say that because that's what I did. Right? Like I had a little tickle, but I didn't have any like desire to go like bonkers with it. You know, I didn't want to like sacrifice my business or anything like that, but I did have a little curiosity. And so it was literally a prayer for God to give me the desire to desire him. I was like, all right, God, I'm there enough to actually want you to kind of like nurture and cook this thing and warm it up a little bit more, but I don't want to do it. I can't do it. And if it's really you, then you can do all the heavy lifting and all the work, right? So for me, the most powerful prayer that I love to share is like, God, give me the desire to desire you. Amen. That's it. And I would just put out like a loving challenge out there and be like, for 30 days, right? For a month, just pray that prayer, but earnestly with your heart. You're like, God, I want something new. I'm so tired of same old religion, you know, or politics. I just want something real with you and just give me a taste. Like, help me taste and see just a glimpse so that I want more. And so whether I know that one thing that I did end up doing is eventually I ended up doing that for, you know, every day, like because it's like he gradually planted that seed and I would do it every once in a while and then it gradually became every day. And I don't know how long I did that for, maybe, I don't know, a month or more or two. But I did it every day because he gave me that desire in my heart. And that's all you have to worry about. Don't worry about from going from 0 to 60 with it. Just do that one prayer diligently. God, give me the desire to desire you and sit back and watch him take care of the rest.
Beautiful message. You know, I think of my realization that, you know, one of the things that we're taught is to write our goals. Aim high, they say. There's no one that's going to aim higher for your life than God is. I mean, nobody has a greater goal for your life than God does. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And it really takes a shift to begin to trust in God and his plan for you rather than the highest goals that I can possibly think for myself. And you very clearly said it starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. Even though we don't know the answer yet, start with prayer because he will give you the answers. I think I'm hearing that.
Yes. And I can 100% say, like, if he took my punk little rebellious prayer and turned it into something real, he will take your respectful, kind, seeking prayer. It'll be like the 10 times, 100 times more powerful than mine. And so, yeah, just ask God to give you that desire. You know, as an entrepreneur, like, okay, so let me just present one more logic to you. If we truly are seeking for like the biggest, most like awesome bomb idea, okay, and you say you believe in God. Well, it says that he, for those, you know, that love him, he has what no eyes have seen, what no ears have heard, no what mind has imagined, the things that he has planned for those that love him. And I'm like, when I saw that, I was like, dude, I'm down for that. Like, I want that. Like, you mean what no, like, you know, billionaire consultant could ever imagine? You have plans for me and I get to tap into it with him. I'm like, let's do that. So logically speaking, if you want the best plan, like, get rid of all the noise that takes you away from like godly principles and habits. Because it's a distraction. It's a lie. It's a house of cards. Like, it's the biggest fraud ever. So anyways, for that practical reason, I say seek God.
Yeah, that's great advice. I want to urge people to join the Business and Mastermind if they're interested in doing that. How can they get in touch with you and how can they do that?
Yeah. Well, and Mark, I just want to ask you, I'm like, so you showed up one day, right? And you're like, you know, a part of the mastermind. Well, what keeps you coming back?
Well, you know, one of the things that's fascinating for me is we've talked a lot about, I'm big on mindset. because the grind as an entrepreneur and as a salesperson and a business owner, I mean, you feel like you're in a battle every single day. And so I have talked for years about mindset, you know, about grit and about mindset. And one of the things that you shared in the mastermind was about fear and all of the ways that fear manifests itself. And I looked at that and I said, all of this grit that we're trying to bring into our business so that we can deal with all these fears is where we should be going to God to help us and guide us with. I mean, that's the most powerful thing that I've gotten through it in the sessions that I've gone through is that discussion that you've had with fear. So I commend you for that. And if there's anyone that's struggling with their business and they're afraid whether they're going to fail, maybe the mastermind is for them.
Yeah, so I'll just touch on some fruits of the fear, okay? It's if you're hustling, you're grinding, you're in, you know, you have to have control over everything. What is a perfectionist and you have to have it to a certain standard. You're like, I'm anxious or you can't sleep at night. Like those are all fruits of fear and we don't know it and it's disguised as productivity. So that's kind of like what Mark was talking about. And so, yeah, as entrepreneurs, dude, we don't think of ourselves as, you know, fearful beings. Instead, we think we're powerful. We're like almighty and we're pioneers. We're chargers. We're overcomers. We're problem solvers. Yeah, underneath that is this sneaky little undercurrent of fear that Satan has like literally planted and weaved in our cloth, and we don't even know it. So anyways, game changer to like face it head on and bring God into it for sure.
Awesome. So is there a resource that you have that people can reach out to you to get a hold of that three-step prayer process?
If you could just go and register for the mastermind, seizethemarket.com/mastermind, I'll just send it to you. I'm like, what's the best way to like get in touch? I'm like, systematically, right? I'm thinking systems. Sorry, I'm still a systems person. If you register for that, it actually, you know, I'll have it so that it triggers to send it to you. So then it can be very automated and you'll get it automatically without relying on a human. And so, yeah, let's leverage systems for sure. There's wisdom in using proper systems. And then that'll also get you invited to the mastermind if you want to take a peek. It's very like, hey, come as you are, come whenever you can. There's no pressure. Make it whenever you can. If you don't, that's cool too. That's how I feel like Jesus would make the invitation. So I'm just going to roll with that.
Right. Well, Christine, thank you for being bold, for leading with faith, and for giving us both the spiritual and the practical today. And for those listening, if you're ready to integrate God into your daily work, go to Seize the Market and download Christine's 3 Steps to Day Planning with God checklist. And check out her God and Business Mastermind to see how her community can support your journey. And if this conversation spoke to you, subscribe to Time Tested Mastery, Life Lessons Sell. Our podcast is on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. And leave us a review so we can keep bringing you more conversations that sharpen your skills and strengthen your purpose. And remember, your business isn't just a machine to run, it's a mission to live. So until next time, keep building with purpose.